Okay, I'm Dan Nicasso with the Honolulu Advertiser, and here we're here with Chuck Larson of Siegel Schools. Good morning.
Good morning.
Chuck, your title is Executive Director?
Yeah, it's Executive Director, but for years I've been thinking about changing it to Captain. I think Captain would be a better title.
I like that. Grand Poobah. And it's Siegel Schools.
Yes, Siegel Schools. I had the same job for 35 years. It's been a really good job.
Now you have five.
We have five at the moment, yes.
And where are they?
We have this one in Kailua, and this is the original site.
Founded in 1971?
71. And then we've had a number of schools we've opened and closed since then, but mm-hmm. I'm not going to count those.
Okay.
We have one downtown. Next to the state capitol, and that's the largest child care center in the state. It's the Early Education Center, and we rent that facility from the city. It has 264 kids.
It's the largest
Child care center in the state.
And it's coming up for an anniversary?
Yeah, we're celebrating our 20th anniversary there. And then we have another school located on the Big Island at the Mauna Lani Resort, and we've had that one for about 18 years, mm-hmm. and it's a very nice facility, and it was built to service the employees of the Mauna Lani Hotel, but for the last 8 or 9 years, it's been a community school. Very few of the Mauna Lani employees actually use it, and we just service everybody on the West Oahu side. Mostly people are working in hotels there. When we first started that school, it was operating 365 days a year till 10 o'clock at night.
Wow.
And about half the kids were infants. But now we've turned it into a community school. They no longer subsidize it, and we operate it as we do our other schools.
Preschool.
Yeah. Well, we don't use the word preschool. We're getting away from that. To me, preschool means before you go to school.
Uh-huh.
And it really bothers me that people still equate it with babysitting and not education. And when everybody knows that this is probably the most important stage of education, of formal education, when you start going to school. So we're not going to call it preschool anymore. We're going to call it first school. So we're kind of rebranding our organization.
Gotcha. And then where are the other two?
Well, then we built one out at Kapolei 10 years ago. And we, I remember making a cold call to Campbell Estate, not knowing anybody out there. And then we started negotiating a lease with them. And their CEO helped us with a fundraising campaign that included a $1 million grant from the state, $1 million from the Weinberg Foundation. Some large grants from Bank of Hawaii, McInerney Foundation, Campbell Estate, and lots of individuals and businesses. And that was our first opportunity of really designing a school specific to how we thought it should be built. We built it in three phases. I believe it's the second largest child care center in the state. And a really unique feature of that one is that we also do adult daycare there. We mix adult daycare with child care in what's called an intergenerational program. And people have come from all over the world to see this program. It's really deals with a lot of aging issues. And we found the program to be mutually beneficial to both age groups. Way better than anybody could have ever imagined. In fact...
Yeah, I want to talk to you more about that.
Okay, great.
We'll get back to that. Okay, so the fifth location?
And fifth location, we just started June 1st, and that's at Kapolei Elementary School. It's called a Pre-Plus program. And we rent a building there from the state, and we run a child care program there, early education, for 3 and 4 year olds, and you know, it's supposed to be for kids who are going to transition into kindergarten at Kapolei Elementary School. So basically what it's doing is extending the curriculum down a couple more years, and the state is really looking at, as are all states, at what they call pre-kindergarten programs. I mean, they realize that the most important part of education are the years before you go to kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not ready to succeed in kindergarten, you never catch up. I think it's really interesting that they say 4 out of 10 children are not ready to go to kindergarten. And kindergarten teachers have determined this with mm-hmm. some criteria. And it's ironic that about 4 out of 10 people don't graduate from high school. I'm not saying it's a direct correlation, but it's kind of interesting, same percentage. And I think that if we really focused our attention on the early years, we would really increase that graduation rate and just the possibility for success in schools in general if we focus more attention on the early years.
Yeah.
And that's why we started calling it First School.
Now, what are the plans currently for Ko'olina and Eva Beach?
Okay, well, Eva Beach is under construction. It's about halfway built. And that's another interesting partnership as far as funding goes. We were approached by Haseko because of a unilateral agreement they'd made with the city to have a child care center, you know, in their development. And they're donating an acre and a quarter of land to us, plus $200,000 cash. And we're mostly financing it with a direct loan from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. That's pretty interesting. But we also have...
Why the Department of Ag?
But that really surprises people, well, a lot of people, but
I thought you said
it's called Rural
Department
Development.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
It's called Rural Development, and they're, most parts of Hawaii are eligible for USDA support. If you're outside of the Hawaii-Kai to Red Hill corridor, almost every place in the state qualifies.
And that's a grant that you got?
Well, we're getting a loan from them on this one. It's a direct loan. It's a 4.1-something% amortized over 40 years. And they, they're not using any collateral.
When will that open, and how many students?
We're going to open probably in December, January, with 180 children. It was interesting. In March, we had an article in the Advertiser on a Friday morning telling people we were going to have a groundbreaking ceremony the following day on Saturday. And from that article in that... in the Advertiser on Friday morning, 30 people called by 11:30 in the morning wanting to enroll their children. And that was just what the demand is.
Yeah.
Actually, the demand for child care and early education is really being unmet in the state all over.
Yeah, I read something. I think you were quoted as saying or attributed as saying that they're going to open fully enrolled?
We anticipate, yes.
Yeah. And what's happening with Ko'olina?
Ko'olina, we're waiting for certain things to happen. It's kind of, it's in Ko'olina Development Corporation's, their power to make things move more quickly. But they're waiting for a few things to happen. I really can't talk about it publicly.
There's no construction yet begun.
No, but with the design is completed. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got a lot invested in it.
Is there a schedule when you hope to open that?
Yes, I did give them a schedule just recently, and I think if everything proceeded in timely fashion, it would be October of 2007. That would be the earliest we could open it.
And how many students there?
It's almost identical design to the one at Eva Beach we're developing.
How many is that?
180 children.
180, sorry. And then any other plan?
Yeah, we do, but I can't talk about them yet.
On Oahu?
Yes, and on the Big Island.
Oh, great.
There's more opportunities than we can handle. The biggest issue for us is there are no teachers. And that's something we've been talking about for many years, saying that there were really low wages. The whole profession is affected by low wages. And those low wages have finally expressed themselves in that there are no teachers now.
Right. How many teachers do you have, and how many will you need?
Well, all these schools open? We have 140 people who work at Seagull School. Not all of them are teachers. Some of them are cooks. Some of them are assistant teachers. But we need at least 9 new teachers for the Eva Beach School. And I really am not sure where they're going to come from. It's the biggest issue. We're trying to be real creative and proactive in developing conditions that will attract teachers. Mm-hmm. One of the things we're doing is we have a grant proposal into McInerney Foundation right now that would support the enrollment of high school students at Kapolei Elementary School and McKinley High School. And we're trying to put together a program with Honolulu Community College so that they'll get advanced placement or college credit while they're still in high school. And the idea is that when they graduate from high school, they'll have the hook in them to become teachers, and also they'll graduate with college credit and be almost totally certified to be able to teach in a child care center. And that's one of the things we're doing. We're also thinking about going overseas. You know, we just can't sit around and wait for things to happen.
Right.
And also, the governor has initiated something called the Governor's Initiatives that started this year. I have to give the governor a lot of credit in developing quality incentives for programs to, and her initiatives give financial rewards to group child care centers that enroll state-funded kids, low-income families primarily, and then there are financial rewards for those schools that enroll them, and as a result, we have more money to pay higher wages, and we're able to pay college tuition for our teachers, trying to get them to go back.
And what kind of credentialing is required?
Well, the minimal credential to qualify as a teacher in our state is what they call a Child Development Associate Certificate. And
it's like an AA degree?
Yes, it's less than an AA degree. And then the next step up would be an AA degree.
I see. Okay. We're only on the second question here. How old are you, Chuck?
63.
And where were you born?
Los Angeles.
Wait, whereabouts?
In Compton.
Really?
Yeah. I've never been to Compton since I was born, but everybody tells me it's
not the garden.
Yeah, that's right.
Where'd you go to high school?
At Franklin Pierce High School in Tacoma.
Franklin Pierce. How do you spell Pierce?
P-I-E-R-C-E. Franklin Pierce was a president, I guess. One of the less known.
Oh, I see. Okay. Tacoma, Washington?
Yeah.
What were you doing there?
Growing up.
I mean, what was your family doing?
My dad worked for Boeing, and my mom did kinds of odd jobs. It was a rural community. I used to have to, my brother and I took turns milking cows and feeding chickens.
Really?
Kind of made, pocket money while we were in high school doing that.
And what year did you graduate?
1960.
Did you go to college?
Yeah. In 1966, I graduated from Pacific Lutheran University.
Where's that?
In Tacoma.
What kind of a degree did you get?
A bachelor's degree in teaching primary grade children.
Is that a BF?
BA. Damn, it's interesting. When I chose that major, they never had a male going to primary education
at
school before. I was the first male. They didn't know what to do with me. They were so used to just having, 100% women. And I got a lot of attention for it. But even at a really early age, when I was first started college, I knew I wanted to work with the youngest children. And those days, I thought kindergarten was the youngest age child you could work with. I'd never even seen a preschool or even heard about it. That type of center. And it was really interesting for me to be in all these classes with totally women dominated type of curriculum, doing finger plays and stuff that I wasn't quite comfortable with, but I was well accepted, and it was a real good choice. It was something I thought was important.
Okay.
And then I got a master's.
The next category is what we call breakthrough.
Can I give you my master's degree?
Oh, I'm sorry. You do have a master's.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yes.
And I have an M.E.D.
Uh-huh.
And teaching exceptional children.
What's that from?
Western Washington State College.
What year was that?
69, I guess.
Any other advanced degrees?
No.
Okay. Breakthrough job. And this is something that It could be anything where you learned about management or leadership or communication or any of these.
I think it was this job. It was.
Really? Was it milking the cow or feeding the chicken?
No, dude, it was. It was this one. This was really unanticipated for me. I thought it was going to be something kind of between unemployment checks. You know, I taught at Cool Hill Park Terrace for 1 year, taught an infant program. I trained Head Start teachers on Kauai for a while. Kind of trying different things here. I taught special education class on Kauai. When I first came, I got hired over the phone to come to Hawaii. I thought it was going to be like a 1 year paid vacation. But I just fell in love with Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And I still am in love with Hawaii. I think it's spectacular.
So your breakthrough job was coming here as executive director?
No, I came here as just a director of a very small school. We had like 13 kids, and it had a different name.
I mean, here being Seagull School?
Yeah, it wasn't called Seagull School. I got hired to take over another school that had a different name with, like I say, about 13 kids. And a few months after I was hired, they went out of business. So I collected unemployment again and traveled around Hawaii, and I read that little book, Jonathan Livingston Seagull. And so a woman, a friend of mine, said, hey, we've got some federal funding. If you start that school up again, we can, we'll provide funding for low-income kids. Mm. So I got some people together, and we moved to this location here at Christ Church. And we kind of had a naming contest for the school. And I just finished reading Jonathan Livingston Seagull, and I liked the philosophy of the book, but I thought nobody will ever read this little book. And I liked the alliteration of the name, so they let me have my way, and we named it Seagull School, even though there are no seagulls in Hawaii.
Right.
And since that time, Seagull Schools has been a really good vehicle for me to do a lot of interesting things. Being a nonprofit organization and not being part of some large organization, we were free to try lots of different things. For instance, like we were the first ones in the state to be licensed to do a group infant care center. That was, 30 years ago or something like that. Mm-hmm. Another project we had was in Kalihi for kids in transition from homeless shelters into transitional housing. So the kids were kind of like homeless kids. We ran a program there in Kalihi for several years. Let's see. And then, of course, the intergenerational thing we're going to talk about.
Right.
That's been a real interesting...
Okay, let's get through these boilerplate questions, and
sure.
You can go on to your programs and all the fun stuff. A little-known fact about you. Must be something that...
Well, Deborah told me some things that I should mention that I... Well, in 1970, I won the Father's Day Gong Show contest at Club Jetty on Kauai, doing air poi balls.
Oh, right, okay. Now you have to explain what air poi balls are.
Okay, well, if you don't really use poi balls, you just go like this. Da, 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 da. What are you looking at?
And it's important to sing the song, right?
Yeah, you got to sing your own music.
And this is where, Uncle?
At Club Jetty.
Club Jetty, a jetty on a...
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a Father's Day Gong Show.
Nice. Is there another one?
Yeah, I also was king of the Valentine's Day dance.
Where was that?
At Connie's Bar, K-A-N-E. It's actually a gay bar on Molokai. Transvestite bar. I sailed my boat in there and took some fish, and I had a girl who really liked to dance, so we cut a pretty good rug, and they selected me to be the king of the Valentine's Day dance at Connie's Bar on Molokai.
When was that?
About 1973.
Okay.
And then in 1984, I produced a movie about the Hokulea.
You were crewing on the Hokulea.
Yeah, I was a crew on the Hokulea for quite a number of years. I was on the board of directors, too. really good experience.
What was the name of that movie?
Hokulea Kava'a. Yeah, it's Hawaiian words.
Uh-huh.
Kava'a Kaulua. K-A W-A-A Kaulua. K-A-U-L-U-A. That just means the double hull canoe.
Kava'a. Is there an Okina between the
Yeah, there is.
And Mentor.
Well, I think I'm still being mentored by a lot of people. And I presume you mean people other than the people I work with and my family.
Yeah, somebody who was a big influence in your career and your philosophies.
Okay, well, Steve Albert at Rainbow School, he's a good friend of mine.
What's he do there?
He's the director of Rainbow School. He started Rainbow School the same year I started Seagull School.
Oh, really? A-L-B-E-R-T?
Yeah.
Why would he be your mentor?
Well, we spent a lot of time one-on-one camping in remote areas. And so we got to talk about life and just about our businesses.
Yeah.
Now, how to operate a nonprofit, management, things like that.
Okay. Major challenge.
Well, I think the major challenge is overcoming the effects of low wages on early education. And getting appropriate, proper recognition for the value of early education. I think also that there's a movement nationally, it's called pre-kindergarten. Almost all states is involved in it. And most of the states have implemented public-private partnerships to develop their programs, basically using infrastructure that's already there and supporting it in flexible ways. And I'm actively involved at the legislature and with different groups trying to put together an effective program of early education for our state that will meet our needs. And really doing it in an efficient way that meets everybody's needs. Doing it through collaborations and through partnerships. I think that's one of our real strengths, is that we have resolved a lot of the issues through partnering with other people.
And hobbies?
Well, I usually like to be home by 4 o'clock every day because there's lots of things I like to do. And kayaking, bicycling. I love playing volleyball. Let's see, I wrote down a few just to make sure I didn't miss anything. Body surfing. I also play the gut bucket. We're with friends at happy hour.
The upright bass?
Yeah, gut bucket. But it's it's a wash tub with a string coming out of it.
Oh, an actual one?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's kind of fun. I live in a really great neighborhood. You know where I live, down the beach lots. And I've lived there for, I don't know, 25 or 30 years. And my kids have grown up there, and they think they have aunties and uncles all over the neighborhood. We got married in the same neighborhood church. And some of my closest friends for, 35 or 40 years live within hundreds of yards from me.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a happy hour at my house every Sunday afternoon. A bunch of people get together, and gives me an occasion to play the gut. But plus that, my wife and daughter are real musical. They both play the piano and sing a lot.
Recent books that you've read?
I wrote them down for you.
Oh, great. How was that John Stewart book?
It's funny. That one, the Pirate Girl book, my daughter just gave me that on Father's Day.
Oh, nice.
And she she replaced a lot of the pictures in the book with pictures of friends and family. It's pretty funny. She's real creative. And then the book about Olivia. I've gone over to Kalau Papa three times in the last year and made friends with this woman. She just had her 90th birthday last week, so I went over there to visit her. And the book, My Life in Exile, it was her 90th birthday. So that's the book that she's written.
And she's the one that came to your school.
Yeah, she is.
Great. All right. So tell me about the formula of facing the school as a forming the schools as nonprofits.
This is the woman from a Kalau Papa, and she came to visit us.
She's 90?
Yeah, and she's got a great sense of humor. She likes to talk about, you know, off-color jokes. She's a real live wire.
Is Elaine's place still there? The bar?
Yeah, now it's got some different name. It's changed hands several times.
Yeah, I spent a couple nights there a few years ago doing a bunch of stories. As a nonprofit founding, what was sort of the thinking of that as rather than a for-profit?
Well, I think there's only like one or two for-profit organizations, childcare organizations in Hawaii, so it's not really a decision to make. I had some advice when I first got started. I had a really good attorney mm-hmm. helped us set up our bylaws. And since then, it's like I say, it's been a real good vehicle to try lots of different things. Mm-hmm. And for at least the last 15 or 20 years, I've had a really great supportive board of directors. And this is a picture of our last October meeting. We all kind of dressed up like pirates, but we have a lot of fun. It's a fun group of people. In fact, five of the people on the board are ex-presidents of the board. And it's not like people stay on for a little while and leave. Usually when you come on the board of directors, it's almost like your lifetime member. We really encourage people to stay for a long time. And we do stuff like go camping together and I try and make it enjoyable for the board.
Right.
I think it's important to have good relationships with them.
But you said being a nonprofit allowed you to try a lot of different things.
Right. We're eligible for grants. And I think one of the things that we've done as well as better than most nonprofits is we've been pretty entrepreneurial in putting together projects. I don't know of anybody else in my profession who's really had the opportunity to design a school from scratch. I mean, it's just a really unusual and a rewarding experience to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And you make a lot of mistakes along the way, but I think we're getting better and better at that. And it's really exciting and stimulating for me to be part of a process like that. Okay. But being a nonprofit organization makes you eligible for grants from private foundations. Mm-hmm. And government organizations.
Right.
And we've had a lot of support from various places, including the city, you know, the state. As I mentioned, we've got a couple $1 million grants. We also got a grant last year of $300,000 to add some more classrooms onto this site. We have long wait lists at all of our schools.
How long are the wait lists?
Sometimes it's so long, you don't want to tell people about it. Don't quote me on that one. How long are the wait lists? I would suggest if you want to put your child into a child care center, you should enroll them at least a year before you want to mm-hmm. want them to start. If you enroll them a year before you want them to start, you'll be able to get your child in.
You're just talking about a Siegel school?
Well, it could be that way for most child care centers in Hawaii. It's the state has put a lot more resources into child care in the last few years through Open Doors and Child Care Connection. And Kamehameha Schools has developed some really generous programs that allow children to go to other schools other than Kamehameha Schools. Kamehameha Schools has really set the bar the highest, and I really appreciate what they've done as far as raising that bar. Mm-hmm. But there's lots of recognition now for the value of early education, I think. And people are, and plus that the economy's good. Everybody's working. So it's just created this real demand for child care, early education.
So let's go back to the idea of elderly care company.
Sure. Outside. Adult daycare.
Yeah.
Aging.
Where did that philosophy come from?
Well, about 8 or 9 years ago, we were designing the second phase of our Kapolei school, and one of my board members was involved in an aging project, and she suggested that we include that into the second phase of our construction, an adult daycare center. So everybody said, yeah, sounds like a great idea. So I went to the mainland and looked at what they call shared site facilities, shared site between child care and adult daycare, and I saw 21 programs on the West Coast and really picked the best parts out of each one. And of all the centers I saw, none of them were really architecturally designed to facilitate that interaction.
Well, can you back up a little bit? What is the philosophy about having interaction at all? I
mean, well, sure. Actually, it promotes activities that are mutually beneficial for both age groups. One time I was writing a grant request for to HMSA, and they wanted me to make it connected to a medical model. So I did some research, and I was researching the writings of Piaget, a psychologist who wrote about the stages of life. And one of the conclusions he came to was that for the older adult to have completion on the life cycle, they needed to come in contact with young children again at the end of their life. Hmm. And I started thinking about this, especially with the observations I'd seen about why that was. And when you think about it, the last 50,000 years since man walked out of Africa, it was probably the job of the older adult to take care of the young children, okay? And the last 50 or 100 years, we've taken that job away from them. Mm-hmm. We have separate communities for older people. Because of transportation, people live away from their grandparents, and they just don't have that connection all the time. And so a lot of children are not getting the benefit of being around older adults, and a lot of older adults don't have that natural connection to their grandchildren. So by putting them together again, it mutually benefits both of them. We have so many really good emotional stories about the relationships between the children and the older adults at our Kapolei school. We also do intergenerational program here at this school. I was instrumental in helping the Windward Seniors program move us a program right next door to us. So the children at this school here in Kailua also have weekly interaction with the seniors, the kupuna at Windward Seniors. But we've adopted this at all of our schools. We just see it as a real benefit. Mm-hmm. At our downtown school, I think we have 14 foster grandparents who come every day, 5 days a week, the same group of people, and they're assigned to a certain classroom. And what we're trying to do is really develop one-on-one relationships between the children and the older adults. It's not just a large group activity. Mm-hmm. And so we have specific activities that go on every day. For instance, at our Kapolei school, as part of the exercise routine, the kupuna go out and walk around the campus. You know, some of them are, a lot of them are in wheelchairs. They're being pushed by aides. A lot of them are in walkers, just barely going. And then 3 times a week, they go into the same classroom where we have structured activities that really facilitate the interaction between the kupuna and the keiki. As I say, we're really wanting to develop those one-on-one relationships between the two age groups. And people have come from all over the world to see this model, especially from Japan. Because they have an aging population there, they're real concerned about mm-hmm. how to maximize their resources there. So we've been involved with universities and other child care providers from Japan.
So the adult daycare is also run as a nonprofit?
Yes. Well, it's the same. It's part of Seagull Schools under the same umbrella. And if you were at our Kapolei school, you would see there's no locked gates, no locked doors that separate the adult daycare facility from the child care facility. And there's lots of visual planes. We found out that visual contact was an important activity. Mm-hmm. So we really set up all kinds of opportunities for them to interact at different levels. For instance, like if the fire department comes or Ronald McDonald comes for an excursion, you know, to entertain the kids or something like that, we mix them all together. And the kapuna have their area and the children sit around them. Children go into the adult daycare program frequently. They help the kapuna look at their bingo cards. They entertain them, put on special shows. And what we've done, I think, is we just totally desensitized these young children to the disabilities of older people. For instance, like the woman when she came over from Kalaupapa,
right.
I mean, she has some visual handicaps.
Mm-hmm.
Children were so desensitized to those kinds of handicaps, they didn't hold back at all. They would go up and hug her. They're not shy. And I think about the carryover this will have in their life, you know, by being desensitized to older adults with disabilities. It has to be a really positive thing in their lives. And of course, for the kapuna, just having young children in their environment makes it a different environment. It's not where it's a bunch of old people who, you know, aging and, you know, passing away. It's like a village. It really is like a village, and that's where we've tried to make it. And it's the buildings are separate. It's well landscaped. It's just a real active place.
Right. You were talking about the pressures on early childhood education. What are some of the answers, and how serious of a problem is it?
Well, I think we really need to acknowledge that early education should be publicly funded. There's nothing magic when a child becomes 5 years old and goes to kindergarten that says that the public should start funding education.
Right.
In fact, I think that if we reprioritized the spending in our state, where we put more on the front end, it would save us a lot of money on the back end. Right now, we're wasting so much resources trying to keep kids in school,
mm-hmm.
you know, when they hit the 9th or 10th grade. If we just gave them more choices and didn't require that they have courses like algebra and geometry, but more vocational type classes, then we wouldn't lose those kids. But basically restructure the educational system, but really weight the front end. If our kids are going to be ready when they go into kindergarten, they won't be behind. And what is shown over and over again is that if kids are behind when they start kindergarten, they never catch up. You know, how can we ignore this? So we really need to get our public officials to get behind this and stop processing, you know, how they're going to do it. And of course, the biggest issue is wages. I think, you know, people who work in early education programs, they don't have nearly the benefits that a public school teacher has. You know,
mm-hmm.
we work 12 months, we work 8-hour days. We don't have this big retirement or health benefits. We're in real competition with everybody for teachers.
Right. The tuition here is now?
Well, our tuition is, starting July, it's about $545 a month for 3 and 4 year olds. Let me verify that. Yes. $545 a month. And, you know, I think we're one of the best bargains in town.
Now, but are most parents, would you say, enrolling their children for early education, or is it because, like most of us, they have to go into town and work, and the child is not yet in school? I mean, is that part of the pressure that's on the system?
It's probably a combination, but I think it's probably more people having to go to work. But they are trying to find what they recognize as quality programs.
Right.
All four of Seagull School's facilities or programs are nationally accredited. We meet the highest standard. And that's one of the things I'm real proud of. Not only are we high quality, but we also are relatively affordable, mm-hmm. and we meet the needs of working parents. Right. And when I say I meet the needs of working parents, we provide breakfast, lunch, snacks. We don't require the children who are in diapers. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't require that to be toilet trained.
Right.
We don't close all the time. A lot of child care centers close for 2 weeks at Christmas, you know, for the summer, for 2 weeks at spring break. But we're really set up to meet the needs of working parents.
You're 12 months a year?
Yes.
Okay, anything else we need to talk about?
Let's see. Yes, I'm also the president of the Hawaii Intergenerational Network.
I saw that. Tell me about that.
Well, and another mentor. I need to mention another mentor.
Okay.
Her name is Mae Mendelsohn.
How do you spell that?
Mae Mendelsohn.
Name looks familiar.
Well, she's the director of the Hawaii Intergenerational Network,
uh-huh.
and Mae also is going to be on the National AARP Board this next year.
Okay.
So it's a big deal.
Are you the current president?
I'm the current Hawaii
Intergenerational
Network. Yeah, and I've been the only president actually since it was formed. That's been about 10 years, I guess.
Really?
And that's a very creative organization, too, another nonprofit. I was instrumental in forming it, and some of the things we've done with that organization are we started a program where we're training seniors to be volunteers in preschools and elementary schools. We have volunteers in 26 elementary schools now, I think.
Through the intergenerational network.
And well, we're just mainly trying to increase resources for education, but also increase programs that enhance lives for older adults by bringing them in contact with younger people. And Mae is a real dynamic person. She's going to be a real feather in the cap for Hawaii in her role as AARP board member.
For Hawaii or the national?
Well, she's the national AARP.
Great.
She was Hawaii's representative last year.
Okay. Great, Chuck.